And we're back on the proposed amendment, which hasn't been voted on, so it's just a proposed amendment for discussion.
So we just got done hearing a lot of public comment. And the questions evolved around RIDE. When is RIDE doing this? When is RIDE doing that? What is RIDE doing? What they are not doing? I would like to hear from RIDE, because this is mostly about them. So is there anyone here tonight from RIDE to speak to this matter? Is there anyone here from RIDE to speak to this matter?
That seems like a no.
It sure does. It sure does. And I would think that RIDE would be present for this item, particularly speaking to the issues and the questions that are being asked.
I don't think RIDE is actually aware of our OPEB trust in any way.
And also this.
It affects our budget, absolutely, but it does not affect our OPEB trust.
I get that. I understand what.
So I wouldn't have asked them to be here because of that.
RIDE, I think, would have been very helpful to answer these questions that are being asked. When are the reimbursements? How does this pay-as-we-go thing? Does the pay-as-we-go, is that when it's done? Or is it a percentage of invoices submitted, et cetera, et cetera? But it doesn't seem that you thought that would have been prudent?
No. The funding of the OPEB trust, it has absolutely nothing to do with the Department of Education and but housing aid.
But it has a lot to do with how the money and when the money is going to be reimbursed, because RIDE is doing the reimbursement. Are they not?
If they were here tonight, they would tell you the project is upon substantial completion of the project.
Substantial completion of the project is a very open-end comment.
I agree.
Especially considering when we're talking about the bond requirement of when both of the fields, both of the schools' fields are completed. We have had, or I should say, at least there has been conversation taking place that perhaps instead of doing two fields, we're going to do one super field. I don't know if that's going to come to be or not. How does that change things? These questions are something that you can't answer, the administration can't answer, I can't answer, but RIDE would be able to answer. And they're not here to do so.
Councilman Lazar, I understand your point, but currently even RIDE can't answer the question because we're talking about things that are not settled yet. Because as stated by the administration, what you're looking for is actively being worked on. They haven't, there isn't a decision, a firm one on that.
So all this is speculative. No one seems to know for certain what we're going to get, what we're not going to get, when we're getting it, who's going to be issuing it, et cetera. So I don't even know why we're talking about it. Thank you.
Yep, to your point, the part that's speculative is the trigger for the repayment of the deferred payments. So understood. I follow your reasoning. Are there any other oh, yes, there are. Okay, I apologize. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So for the administration, this might sound like a dumb question, but I'm going somewhere with it, I think. So if the city, for years into the future, we make all required payments towards the pensions, towards the OPEB trust, but revenues are not sufficient, and then next thing you know, funding balance goes to $0, and we can't fulfill our operating expenses, what happens to the city?
So again,
we're
back to, so we're going to be fair, because with Mr. Cushman, he wasn't relevant, and I think we're in the same boat here.
I'll withdraw that question. So more to the point, let's say that we're able to make the operating expenses and we're making all the required contributions to the pensions, but the OPEB trust payments have not been sufficient, and so then the amounts at that future date when we would be counting on that OPEB trust to have funds available, those funds aren't there, then, well, what happens?
the OPEB trust has been funded for a few years now. And, you know, my fiscal notes said that we would be paying approximately $1.25 million next year to the OPEB trust, which would match employee contributions. So overall next year, we'll still put away $2.5 million. Currently, we're budgeted to pay $944,000 out of the general fund plus employee contributions. So we're still funding this trust, just less, sir.
And bear in mind, Councilmember Ricks, focused on right now before us is the amendment rather than the whole concept. So I know we want to, you obviously want to talk about both, which is fine. Let's do just the amendment for now.
Well, specifically relating it to the amendment provides for 4 years afterwards. So It all goes into a matter of the timing. And I'm not disputing that OPEB trust payments would continue to be made, just $5 million fewer this coming year, and potentially up to $5 million, well, this year and the next 3 years after that under the ordinance. But anyways, thinking about the long-term impact of that, if hypothetically there were a future in which we were counting on that OPEB trust fund money to be available and it wasn't available, and okay, X dollars are due, we have Y dollars, Y is less than X, and checks or electronic payments, however it is, it's not sufficient. That would be a problem for the city, right? If the city were bouncing its checks.
The city is in no danger of bouncing checks. The OPEB trust money, it currently has $7 million in it. I cannot touch that money. Nobody can touch that money for anything other than paying or reimbursing. It's only for pension.
So I understand the point that you're making. We are not at risk of bouncing any checks tomorrow. Of course not. I'm not concerned about tomorrow. The reason that we're putting this money away in a trust so that it grows over time is so that it is out there in the future, because we're not just putting this money away for no reason at all. We're just putting it away because we like bank account balance to rise or whatever. No. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about the distant future when we are counting on that money to be there. So please, I want us to be focused on what the purpose of all of this is. If it makes absolutely no difference in the world to anybody, whether we are saving money now or whether we can just make it up at an indeterminate date in the future because we develop immortality or somehow we develop some way to time travel. Well, it's all nonsense. We're not talking as if, I don't know how many ways to put it, that the reason we save money today is so that it is available at a future date, and in between now and then, the money tends to grow due to investments. But if we don't put the money away today, then it's not going to be there and it's not going to grow. And I think that if the money isn't there and it doesn't grow, then there are going to be consequences when we want to go and use it in that distant future. So if the money isn't there in the distant future when we would rely on it and it's not there, is that a problem for the city?
We will still contribute.
Yeah, and point of clarification, Councilman Ricks, right now the current method is to pay as you go. If for whatever reason the trust was not sufficient, we don't just not pay, we then pay as you go. So one way or another, the OPEB benefits get paid out. Your point is still valid that if the money's not there tomorrow, we're not building interest on it until it is there. Absolutely true. Agreed 100%. Are you trying to make some other point? If so, have at it.
Then a question. In that case, why do we have pension funds or an OPEB trust fund at all? Why don't we just pay it all as we go? And then magically in the future, the money will just be there magically. It's not like we need to invest it and allow it to grow over time. I don't know. If we can pay it all as we go, then why are we bothering saving to do the prudent thing of, you know, having the money grow in the future? The point of all of this is that if we don't have pension funds, if we don't have an OPEB trust, if we are not saving now for the future, no, we cannot simply pay as we go. The money is not going to be there.
As a point of clarification, Councilman Ricks, one, that's not true. And number two, and perhaps more importantly, again, try to focus on the amendment rather than the broader concept as a whole, and references to the pension are not on topic. We're only talking about OPEB.
Okay, I'll focus very specifically on the amendment. Now, the copy that was erroneously distributed earlier, I didn't have a chance to really read it in quite the detail I would prefer, but in that moment it was handed to me, I noticed that instead of saying a maximum of 4 years, which the current draft does, it referred to 1 year. So, in the back and forth that I was not privy to in the drafting of this amendment, it seems to me that there was a reason why it apparently an earlier draft was to require the repayment within 1 year, and yet the version before us now says 4 years. So as to the amendment, I would say that it is a point of major concern to me that the entire initial purpose of this legislation, 6-26, as I had understood it, is that it's simply a matter of us waiting for that reimbursement from RIDE, and then we take that money and we go ahead and we put it back in that OPEB trust and we let it grow and so on and so forth, because it's simply a matter of needing that reimbursement for RIDE. But if now we're talking about a 4-year period, then what on earth do we need that money so badly for up to 4 years before we can allow it to go into the market, into the investments, to grow and fulfill its purpose?
Is that a question for the administration? Do you want them to address that? Seems like a good question.
That is a question, yes.
All right.
Why 4 years? Flexibility. I mean, truly the intent is to put it over 4 years because we're delaying this, right? And we can re-amortize it to help kind of smooth out this whole crazy metric we have going on. In the budget process out in fiscal year 29 or 30 or whenever, we can amend, put in a budget that says we're going to put in $20 million, but we don't have to. Does that make sense? So, the wording says you may, but you don't have to. But you have to do it in 4 years.
I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
I mean, RIDE could come in and suddenly decide one day to give us partial reimbursements, and at which point we can present something different. At the moment, they're giving us one huge balloon payment with substantial completion. But I don't know what it's going to be in 2 years.
Yeah, so I mean, what makes sense to me is that 1 month ago, at the actuary presentation that is directly on point here, because that actuary presentation told us that it's going to take a lot of discipline to fully get there, and then, of course, depends on what the competing resources and obligations look like. That was the quote, a quote from our actuary. That was referring to us increasing these contributions to the total funding of 2.5% every single year. It's going to take discipline to do that. The actuary didn't say, it's going to take flexibility. You might decrease that line item by 9% 1 year, and then, you know, you put in 11.5% to make up for that 9% decrease. That's not what the actuary told us last month. So I think that we need to have discipline if we're going to reach our funding goals here, which have been just continuously pushed out, kick the can down the road for decades with this city. And as long as we're not putting that money in the market or investments to grow over time, we find ourselves digging ourselves deeper and deeper into the hole because we lack the discipline to make the hard decisions sooner rather than later. So I understand flexibility is very much desired, but flexibility is not what we need in the long term here to solve our problems. We need discipline in order to solve the problems. That's all for now. Thank you.
All right. I got a message to Councilman Lattice's question, actually, from Mario Carreno at RIDE. The repayment begins at substantial completion of a project. Because we are only reimbursing the first $313 million, if you say the fields are in the last $37 million, then it wouldn't matter either way. In other words, it can make the timing of the completion of the fields irrelevant for the purposes of reimbursement. Irrelevant, that's correct. So rather than the question mark, it would be substantial completion of all the other stuff included in the $313 million, not the remaining $37
million. So that varies from the bond referendum language, I believe. Because I believe it states that the reimbursement begins upon the completion of the schools, including the fields.
I'm just relaying what Ride said, and that's what you were seeking for. I'm sorry.
No problem, Mr. President, but now we're both on the record. Thank you.
All right, so the order I saw lights, Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. I'm going to focus more on just the actual amendment here that's in front of us. So we had just a couple of specific words in here that are concerning to me. So I'll start with full state reimbursement, the operative full. Director, you just mentioned that RIDE could give partial reimbursement. So in that instance, then...
It doesn't seem likely to me, but I mean, stranger things have happened.
Okay. So that is a possibility that they begin partial, in which case that makes this amendment irrelevant until a full reimbursement begins. I don't know how I feel about that. And then just one point of clarification. In the budget year following the commencement of some sort of reimbursement. So if substantial completion is determined to be made in 2029, we're thinking, and then RIDE reimbursement comes in fiscal 29, that means that the repayment would begin in fiscal 30. Is that a correct interpretation of this? Where's our solicitor?
That's how I read it.
So the operative following the commencement of state reimbursement. So if, as the director stated, reimbursement would begin sometime in 2029, then the repayment schedule would start in fiscal 30. Is that?
It would be the succeeding budget year. So.
Okay. He said that it would begin, so replenishment of the OPEB fund would be the subsequent year. So if reimbursement started in 29, replenishment of what was deferred would start in fiscal 30 or so on and so forth. My last point of concern is the last line, repayment may occur over a maximum of 4 years. I think the operative may is concerning for me, and I would suggest possibly an amendment to make that a shall occur over a maximum of 4 years. The may occur over 4 years, I think it's being framed as kind of rear looking, is that the may occur over 4 years is sort of allowing the city to do it in a shorter period. However, the way I'm reading it is that it may occur over a maximum of 4 years, meaning pointing towards the end of that sentence that it may occur over 4 years, but we could do it over longer. So I think a shall occur over a maximum of 4 years still gives the city the right flexibility to do it in quicker time, in quicker fashion, but caps it at 4 years. The maximum, I don't think, because you may do the maximum, not shall do the maximum. That's my concern on that. So can we amend the amendment, or do we have to approve it and then amend it?
Thank you, Councilman. This was a point of clarification that I'm working on at the moment. There's two things to consider should this amendment move forward, and both relate to inserting the words shall to give that affirmative completion of the requirements here. So one would be following the word city. It says the city will begin repaying. I think we should consider making that a shall. And then as what in the last sentence, as you were just noting, that repayment shall be completed over a maximum of such time. Those would be, I think, things for everyone to consider to get this more precise.
So if we change that last sentence to repayment shall occur over a maximum of 4 years, it would require the city to repay that money firmly over 4 years, no longer than 4 years, but give the city still the flexibility to fund it quicker if we had the excess funds.
Based on that, I would recommend language that says repayment shall be completed over a maximum of 4 years rather than shall occur over. It would mandate a 4-year payback. It would, so this would give you the flexibility to pay it off earlier.
How do we make that change? Do we have to propose that, or is that?
I would encourage further debate on the amendment, and then once debate has
okay.
So we can revise it in one shot at that time. So
my,
I would say hold for now.
Desire and what I would like to see is some further guardrails. As a member of our public has pointed out, that the guardrails should be, we need to firmly cap the city's timeline for kicking this can down the road at a specific time, which 4 years seems a reasonable amount of time to stretch that out. It's not super long. It's not too short where we'd be repaying $20+ million in 1 year. I think we can all agree that that would put too much of a financial strain on the city. But I would strongly consider, or strongly urge my colleagues to consider putting a shall and capping it so that the city we have to make good on this repayment in a maximum of 4 years. I think that operative does that. If we have the excess funds, we certainly could do it sooner. The other point I just want to circle back to is full state reimbursement concerns me, because if the state decides they're not fully reimbursing, it eliminates what we're doing here. So I think commencement of state reimbursement and 86ing the full is more palatable for this councilman, at least. So if anyone else would like to comment on those concerns.
So Councilman, the only thing I bring up as far as the partial repayment thing, bear in mind, assuming some version of this passes, regardless of what that looks like, when it comes time for our budget meetings, this discussion will happen again as far as, hey, there's this chunk of money we're gonna put over here instead of over here. So that'll be before us at that time. So if, for instance, if next year it turns out RIDE chose to give us $10 million early reimbursement, we could say, hey, that money that you want to go from here to here, we don't want to do that because RIDE gave us a partial reimbursement. So you don't need to do that this time.
So that, I think that speaks directly to my point, is if they do a partial reimbursement at any time, we couldn't use that according to this. I mean, I guess we could as part of a budget, but then this ordinance wouldn't kick in.
I'm just throwing it out there just to keep in mind. It doesn't mean your prospect of amending it accordingly is invalid. So still potentially viable.
Okay, thank you.
So, all right, we got two. Councilman Gebhardt and then Councilman Muto. What happened? What did I miss? Oh, I apologize. I looked right and then I looked left. Councilman Muto, sorry. You were first.
Thank you. I just want to make sure everyone is aware of what the trade-off costs are here. When we're looking at making this decision, we are looking at an opportunity cost of our future value of our money. We are looking at paying a 5% debt with a 5.9% offset, which is our return by our actuary. So we're paying one credit card of 20% to another one that's 18%. So number one, that is a terrible way of managing money. Number two, let's look at future opportunity costs. What does $5 million, just once, one $5 million look like in 30 years, that maturity value? Have you done that? Those numbers, Finance Chief, of what is our opportunity cost if we defer the $5 million without interest for what that would look like if we paid that $5 million?
The actuary uses 6%, so $300,000.
Yeah. So for $600,000,
$5 million, 6%. $300,000.
Yeah, but the future value, what that $5 million is going to cost.
I didn't compound that over 30 years, but that is a one-year
Well,
year
I
mark.
Did.
Yeah.
I did. Okay, so for 2 years, for $10 million only, we're looking at, for $10 million, we're giving up approximately $49 million in the future. If we go 3 years, and it's paid back within 3 years.
Point of order, Councilman, just so I can understand your math. How long are you?
I'm doing what the actuary is. So it's a 30-year OPEB program. We're in it 2 years. So it's maturity in 28 years.
So your math is based on a 28-year projection?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So just, and it's ballpark. Yeah, I just want people to know the proportion that we're looking at. So let's just assume a three-year, this is what we're looking at, three-year, $15 million. At that time, that value is approximately $75 million. So we're trading off $15 million for $75. Now, if we take the payment as an equal payment for 4 years after that, that number is a staggering $130 million. So we're trading off $15 million present value to about $130 million at the maturity of this. So when we're doing this decision, it has consequences. When, in fact, have we looked at other options such as, the budget? We're looking at about 1.3% of our budget to make up that $5 million. I don't know any household that can't find $1.3 million to pay their extra higher level electric bill or gas bill. What's that? Oh, percent. I'm sorry. Percent, 1.3%. So all I'm saying is I'm not comfortable paying, deferring bills at a higher opportunity cost of 5% to 5.6, or your point, 6%, that even makes the math worse. And then not paying the opportunity costs, we're just paying the principal back, and we're shorting our future value of these dollars. Whether or not it's a pay-as-you-go plan, an OPEC plan, whatever it is, we're still talking about $130 million future cost, future value for $15 million. To me, I can't make that math justify at this point. Just make it make sense to me.
As another point of order, I think I can do this. Councilman, were those numbers, is that the delta from when you put back the money?
Yes.
So that's $10 million over 28 years less the...
Yeah, because the payback's staggered over the last. So I just made it easy. I divided the $15 million, divided by four, and the payback would be in each subsequent year. So again, it's ballpark. It's back of the envelope.
So
it's $100 million.
If you added that $10 million back in. Mm-hmm. In the four-year repayment, and then we amortize that across 20 years, right? So then we would have to take the delta of your 28-year amortization of negative 10 and your re-amortization of putting that money back in over 20.
Well, it's,
and that's your true loss of that's your
true,
true
loss.
Loss.
Yes.
Right. So this those numbers that you just gave out are not the actual true loss.
Yeah. So I'm not the finance person for the city.
No, I'm just I want to make sure. I mean, I think you're bringing up valid points, and I'm not trying to be argumentative. I want to make sure that I'm understanding the math.
Yeah.
So that is not the actual true loss. We'd have to delta back.
Yes.
What we're gaining, so substantially lower than those numbers, but not. But I mean, it's not nothing. It's we're talking about millions of dollars.
I would propose we table this till we actually get the numbers that are costing this.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the work, Councilman. Thank you.
Yep. The other part is the flexibility as far as the reimbursement goes. Why are we giving the flexibility of when we get the money back from the state? I'd be more comfortable if we put something in there that has to do with we can't use the reimbursement from the state, no matter if it's partial or full, for anything but reimbursements, and then over and beyond that. So that would be an amendment that I would add. That way, that money that's received for the purpose of paying the interest on the loan is diverted first to paying back the OPEB.
I think it's pretty clear that's the intent.
The intent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems very clear to me that's the intent of this amendment.
Yeah.
And I hope it's clear to whoever.
I don't work in intents. I want to work in absolutes. And if we could do some absolutes, and this is a big problem with the city. And if we're too vague and too squishy with this numbers, that putting better absolute, this isn't a hard economic or financial problem to calculate within some you know, constraints. All we're asking for is tell us what the trade-offs are, tell us what the cost is, and tell us, you know, when you get this money back, first bills paid is the OPEB to reimburse. So if we're using and leveraging the OPEB, and the whole idea is we don't have the funds to do it right now, but we will have the funds when the state pays us back, it only makes perfect sense is that money is allocated to that reimbursement. So I'll yield my time.
Alrighty, just give me one moment, please. I just got to keep track of everybody. That's an important point to dovetail with Councilman Mutos, because he's right as far as that there is a cost to this proposal. If we, for instance, took the money from the rainy day fund, that money will not obviously accrue interest because it will be gone. So similarly, there would be a cost associated with that, albeit not as much because it's a lower interest rate. It's not as good as the interest rate afforded to the trust. Not to mention the costs as far as a bond rating or a credit hit. All right, so the next up is Councilman Gebhardt, followed by, unless there's somebody else new, then it will go to Councilman Ricks.
I just had a couple quick ones on things that came up.
I just had a couple quick ones on things that came up. I do have some more detailed thoughts for when we get to the heart of the matter, but thank you. Good to, and we have a bunch of lawyers in the room, but I appreciate the feedback on the word may and shall. I think that is important, and it speaks directly to the intent of why this amendment is on the floor, because the original proposal provided absolutely no repayment plan at all. And to what several other commenters and colleagues have said, you know, we want to give the city the flexibility to operate the finances of the city within guardrails, right? And while we'd love to all live in absolutes, we're dealing with unknowns. We're dealing with a project that this council and the mayor and the city and the administration don't control, right? We're partners in that process, but we don't control the construction timeline. We don't know when it's going to be done. We know when they tell us it will be done, and we are watching it closely. However, those are not absolutes. We need to give the city the toolkit in order to be responsible. And you know, the reason we're here tonight is that over the next 5 years, we have a challenge in making these short-term interest payments prior to the school being completed. And the city and the council, hopefully tonight, will be supportive of the plan, because the reason we brought the plan, or the reason the plan has been brought forward, is to not put this the short-term challenge completely on the backs of the taxpayer. Now, of course, every dollar that comes in and out is a dollar of the taxpayer. Absolutely. But without an alternative plan, we need to raise taxes to a substantially higher level this year to cover short-term interest that is being reimbursed in 4 years. Is this the perfect plan? No. But does it provide some relief in a time when folks need relief? I filled up my gas tank the other day. It was $4.42 a gallon. People are feeling that. We are trying to be responsible with the tax levy and the tax rate. And this is part of it. Is there a trade-off? Absolutely. Are the numbers of the trade-off what you have just heard? Absolutely not. Not even close. That the back of the napkin, we should get a new napkin, because that is not even in the neighborhood of what the cost is. But there is, of course, a cost. This is a trade-off. But we are, the money is being returned to us, reimbursed to us by the state at the substantial completion of the project. We do not need to raise taxes in order to cover the short-term borrowing costs when we know we will recoup those monies. Sorry, I'm going on and on here. I did think about an analogy, Councilman Ricks, while you were talking, and I know you have, since I arrived in this room, have been the most passionate about the city getting its house in order and making sure that we have the funds to pay for the benefits and the retirement plans that we made a commitment to the employees and to the retirees that would be there. And I know why you're passionate about it, because you don't want to be here or be looking back on the day when those can't be paid. Right? I don't think any of us, none of us want that. We may differ in our beliefs about how the plan that we are currently participating in gets us there, but we all made that plan together. Maybe, I mean, we have four new folks who weren't here at the outset, 2021, 2022, when we made the conscious decision to put the OPEB trust in place. But it answers, you know, one of the biggest kind of elephants that's been in the room since I've been following, and many of the folks in this room have been following, and it is a step towards being responsible with the long-term obligations that we have. You're seeing the only reason we're having this conversation is that 30 years ago, someone who sat in our exact same seats, maybe the same chair, made a push to make sure that our pension plans were solvent. We are in the enviable position across the state of having pension plans that are fully, that are not fully funded, but are funded at an exceptional level. And because of the level that they're funded at, the actuary has told us, hey, you don't need to put nearly as much money into those pension plans anymore, and you can do something else with it. And what we're choosing to do with it this year is to give it back to everyone in this room. You know, you could say, you were getting a little wound up, Councilman, and the passion is coming out, and I understand it. And, you know, we could all, I go to my job every day, I get paid every couple weeks. I could put 100% of every paycheck into my 401k, and I could retire a hell of a lot sooner than I'm likely to. But if I starve in the process, is that a good financial decision? And I think that's what we're talking about, right? We don't want to starve people while we're trying to save money. And we have the opportunity here to provide a little bit of relief that does come at a cost, but over time we will make it up. And the point of this amendment is to tell the city, we are serious about the plan, we are serious about the path we are going down, and we are committed to saving money on a 30-year plan to make sure that we have those funds to pay for the benefits that we have promised those retirees. And that's the whole conversation here tonight. And so I probably said all the things I intended to say later, so maybe you won't hear from me again, but I urge your support on both the amendment and on passing this important ordinance. So thank you.
All right, so let's see, we got lights. Councilman Ricks, how about it? So Councilman, you have 1 minute and 27 seconds left.
Thanks, I'll try to be brief here. Famous last words. So I would analogize this not to a matter of investing from one's paycheck, but to what I often do at my law firm of, if I receive a settlement check, guess what? Not all of that money is mine. What I do is I immediately disperse those funds as soon as that payment clears. So here comes, for instance, that reimbursement for RIDE to the tune of all of those millions of dollars. I think that my clients would be upset with me if I were to say, okay, I just need the flexibility of up to 4 years to disperse your funds. Well, that's not entirely fair, and I'm sorry for that. But that is the analogy that I had been thinking of here. So when it comes to deferring these payments, deferring, you know, taking that money and putting it back to where really it should be in the first place, ideally, being invested, we really should be having as instantaneous a turnaround as we possibly can. Additional flexibility is the opposite of discipline. And if we don't have discipline, we're not going to make these financial goals. Now, part of what was infuriating to me earlier was the whole notion of...
Councilman, you're out of time, so if you could just wrap up that
sentence. If I may have 2 minutes.
So, yep, so we got to do the whole thing. So someone's got a motion for it? So is there any objection for... All right. Is there any objection to Councilman Ricks having 2 more minutes? All right, no objection, so be it. Another 2 minutes, Councilman.
Thank you. So 2 quick points I'll try to make. First point is that what's really infuriating to me as part of this too is that the notion of we can just pay as we go in the future. No. We try to do that in the future when the money's not there. The entire reason why we are saving money now, trying to invest and gain on that, is because if we were to try to pay in the future, that is called a financial crisis, and we would have zero flexibility to kick the can down the road any further. I'm also just concerned here when it comes to not looking at this as the entire picture. Now, the analogy of the Titanic, it's been a little bit overplayed over time, but as the survivors of the Titanic put it, there wasn't initially any real, you know, noticeable impact. There wasn't that, here I am paraphrasing it a bit, but there wasn't any visible damage above the waterline. But you know what? You have one piece of that financial, one big piece of that piece of the city's finances that suddenly has a big old gaping hole in it. We're all in one boat here. So if the boat goes down because one piece of it has a big gaping hole in it, well, the fact that the rest of it seems fine, that's not going to count for a heck of a lot. That's all.
With 15 seconds to spare, Councilman. Solicitor?
Yes, one point of clarification for the administration. On line 15 of page 2, there's a qualifying language full before reimbursement, and then that language is repeated as part of this amendment. I believe that could lead to open-ended interpretations. If the intent is to say when the reimbursement begins, we should probably remove the words full in those two places. Is that a
That's
fair?
Fine.
Thank you.
While we have you there, is there any objection to the suggestion made by Councilman Napa regarding the two shalls?
I could do no.
One. No. All right. Pardon?
Oh, you were asking.
Oh, so. All right. So as far as logistically.
We could try this through to do one technical amendment if everyone wants to try following. If not, we could try it in portions. The amendments that were discussed here to the amendment, so a second degree amendment, I would recommend that we remove the words full in the two places that they appear. On page 2, line 15, in the original new language, it says the state begins full reimbursement of the debt service. We would delete that word full. And then as part of the amendment that you see in the budget year following the commencement of full state reimbursement, delete that full as well. And then at the end of that line, the city change the will to shall begin repaying the OPID trust, and then change the last sentence to delete the words may occur and replace it with shall be completed. So that would remove the words full, change the will and the mays to shalls, and ensure that payment begins upon the state reimbursement and is completed over a maximum of 4 years after repayment begins.
So is there any objection to the technical amendments as provided by the solicitor? So yes is an objection because you want to do, all right, go for it.
I'd like to change the, or add to the max of 4 years, but as I'd like to put something in there that has to do with when we receive the reimbursement from the state, from RIDE, that it gets paid to the OPEB at that, you know, at that time. The reason is if we're saying that this is the reason. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So
go on. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm just trying to explain to put it into that. So what I'm looking at is to put the language in there, you know, when we get the reimbursement, that within we could set a time that dollar goes directly to the payment and we don't hold that dollar for something else.
That's the deferred amount, correct? Not the full reimbursement.
Yeah, as we're coming in. So for example, if we get $2.5 million from RIDE, that $2.5 million goes to pay back the OPEB without holding it. Let's just, we say it's for this purpose, let's use it for that purpose. And that would make me feel a lot more comfortable.
So Councilman, if I'm following you, that would mean the last sentence you either want to just, you actually just want to remove because you don't want to have a cap of over a maximum of 4 years. You just want, hey, once you get the money, put it here.
That's it.
Okay, I understand. He's pondering.
Council President, could I ask a question of the administration just to clarify what Councilman Mutal's request is?
Sure.
I thought my understanding was that we would be doing two things as part of this process, is one, deferring OPEB while still also drawing down fund balance. Is that correct? Over the next several years, we're going to be deferring some money here and also drawing down fund balance to pay back some money?
Possibly. I mean, the 27 budget does have the use of fund balance, yes.
Okay, so then my suggestion would be instead of just strictly limiting it to OPEB, and this is just a suggestion, that we sort of look at where we drew down. Was it OPEB plus fund balance, or and how do we divvy up, you know, how do we prioritize one over the other, or which way to go? But I just want to keep that in mind prior to strictly saying it has to be used for X.
No, that's a great point, and you guys are the lawyers, so I'll let you guys figure out the wording.
Yeah, and I'll reiterate what I mentioned before as far as each year for, and when it comes time to do the budget, this can be that exact situation as far as, hey, we're not going to do it this year, or we're going to do it less this year, or we're going to do some from the fund balance, some from this. That would undoubtedly be part of the discussion each year, regardless of tonight, as far as what language we go with, if we go with it. Are you still buffering? He's still buffering. All right. Does anyone else have any questions? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Councilman Muto's sounded pretty good. Can I just hear it one more time? Because I didn't hear what.
Oh, what I'm looking to do is, and I'll just use round numbers. We take $5 million from OPEB and $2 million from the drawdown. We get $7 million back on a reimbursement. $5 million goes back to OPEB. $2 million goes back to the. Obviously, it's not as simple as that. But what I'm looking for is,
I get the gist of it, and I think that's what we're all looking for. Because, as I said, when we get the balloon payment, we really want to build the fund balance back up. So, yes, we're on the same page.
Cool. You guys figure out the language.
Councilman Gebhardt?
The only point I would make is, and I know this is hard because this is kind of our first attempt to weigh in on this, and we want to solve all the problems of the future. I like the idea of sort of first in, first out, in terms of stacking the payments. That said, I would just say we may want to just confine this ordinance to sort of the outer bounds of the control we want to put into ordinance. As this is more difficult to all, I guess what I'm saying is don't bake all the rules into the ordinance as things may change over time. So try to get at least the build the guardrails, but don't chart the entire course in the ordinance. So I think conceptually the first in, wherever we took the money from first, pay it back first as the monies come in. But enumerating too many other conditions into this ordinance may get in our way of a better solution down the road, I guess is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and to your point, that's actually how we got here in the first place, because we attempted to chart the course so far in advance, and we didn't realize this would happen. So, Councilman Napa?
Just a more of a clarification point as a process move as we get through this. We're approving the amendment would be the first vote, I'd assume, right? And then, or shooting it down one way or the other. And then we're left with whatever ordinance proposed as amended or originally as presented. Is there another opportunity to discuss then the merits of the entire as amended, in addition to any public comments so they can speak on whatever amendments we may or may not end up with? Or are we voting and then voting again?
So first, the vote would be on the proposed amendment, and then after that, the ordinance would stand before us as amended, still for discussion. So you can discuss it whatever length you want at that point as regarding the full scope, just like how we were asking Councilman Ricks, hey, limit your topic to just the amendment. And once we get to that point, there's no reason to limit. Now it'll be everything.
Okay. Just because I think it might be helpful to direct some questions perhaps through Chairman Galligan, who just arrived, to relative to some of those issues about reimbursements and timelines and such.
Oh, so you're also asking about public comment being reopened?
Yes.
So that's my knee-jerk thought is I prefer not, from the perspective of how we normally handle this, because once we start doing it that way, arguably, well, there's no reason not to do it that way every time we have this situation. That being said, the countervailing fact is that he might be able to speak to this matter from the perspective of just like how the mayor and Lynn and Bill all speak to it. I will say, though, I think we got at least the main answer we needed from that was from school committee member Testa, who stated what Mario Carreno from RIDE had mentioned. I think we got that answer. I can't speak to if there's anything else, though, that might be relevant. So I'm not going to pretend to know the answer to that. But at the end of the day, it's up to the council in that regard, whether or not to suspend the rules. I cannot decide that unilaterally. Councilman Gephardt, are you, oh, never mind, you're just messing with me, okay. Solicitor, are you still buffering?
So we have a handful of potential amendments to the amendment. We could discuss them individually or try and insert one omnibus amendment in its place. I defer to the members of how they would like to try this.
So just for my own two cents, it sounds like, based on what everyone said, there's a general agreement with the approach, including the administration, regarding all the proposed amendments. So yeah, if we could at least get all those on the record, and then we can talk about the thing as a whole, because maybe people don't want it anyway, which is fine. It's your prerogative, but at least we can get the whole darn thing before us.
I'd be good with withdrawing my original amendment and replacing it with the amendment with the collaborative feedback from the session. If that helps.
Okay, Councilman Gephardt withdraws the original amendment and inserts the following new amendment that would need a second. So the new amendment would, and this, so let's just work with the original C, delete the word full, page 2, line 15. Now, the new language that would be inserted would read, in the budget year following the commencement of state reimbursement for debt service, the city shall repay the OPEB trust for any previously deferred amounts upon receipt of a reimbursement.
Good. Mr. Solicitor, that also includes removing the term full from line 15, is that correct?
Yes, the sentence that I read would be the only new language being inserted.
Motion to move favorable action as amended.
All right, motion made and seconded. So is there any comments or questions on the proposed amendment? All right, so seeing none, the clerk will call the roll on just on the proposed amendment that will still have the whole thing before us as amended if said amendment passes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
All right, so it now stands before us as amended. So, discussion, if there is any. Councilman Riggs.
An amendment to the legislation as amended. So, looking at the phrase, begin repaying the OPEB trust for any previously deferred amounts, and before the comma, I would, in my amendment that I am moving, would be to insert the following language. Together with an amount representing 6.9% compound.
Your mic stopped working. I'm sorry, Councilman. So we last heard you, together with the amount.
Thank you. Together with an amount representing 6.9% compound annual gains on any such previously deferred amounts, comma, and then pick up with the rest.
Would you be open to proceeding how we handled the prior portion where we discussed that concept before we actually jump into, all right, let's move second and vote. All right, appreciate it. So just everyone keep that in mind as part of this discussion, because we're discussing this as a whole, just like we did with a prior portion. So I didn't see the order. I know I saw your light first. So Councilman Lattiser, hopefully I got that right.
Just a clarification question. So what we're going to be voting on is the proposed amendment on the floor now that will move us into full discussion on the presentation as amended, correct?
So we're currently before us is the PCO 626 as amended.
Right. And then we begin discussion on the entire package as amended.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Solicitor, we need to have a forced a formal motion so we can open discussion. Because Councilman Ricks agreed to hold off on his amendment.
If there's no amendment before us, we're back on the item as amended.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So we'll be taking additional comments on the whole package.
We're doing that right now.
Okay.
No further amendments. We're on the item that we just amended. Okay. So this is potential action.
Councilman Gebhardt? Maybe.
Move favorable action.
I'll make a brief comment on what Councilman Ricks brought up. The way I look at this, and hopefully I got to this in my comments, that sometimes I lose track, but this is an imperfect situation. In the ideal case, we would not be deferring funds from the OPEB trust, and we would be putting every last penny we can squeeze into the trust as soon as possible. However, we do not live in a perfect world, and we have a use for these funds that provides relief to the taxpayers in a time when we need it. Including in this ordinance that the city repay the compounding interest over the period of time when we past performance is not an indicator of future gains, right? So we don't know that 6.9% or whatever we put in here is the actual number. It could be substantially worse, it could be substantially better, unclear. But if we're gonna put ourselves, all of us, the city and the taxpayers, on the hook to repay with compounded interest, we might as well not do this at all. Just bite the bullet today, raise everyone's taxes to the maximum. Raise everyone's taxes to the maximum and let the compounding happen on its own. I don't think that is the prudent move here. I think we are acknowledging that we are sacrificing some long-term gains, solving a problem that's existed for, I don't know, the length of the city's history, or whenever we, you know, first included benefits as a retirement, as a part of a retirement package. This problem has existed since then. We have made great strides in addressing it. This is a little bit of a setback in terms of addressing it, but it does solve other challenges that we have directly in front of us right now. So I would just suggest that we not include that language in this amendment. I think we together all got to a good place, something that we're comfortable with. Nothing in this ordinance, in the updated language, prevents us from expending monies beyond what we are pledging here, what we deferred into the trust. So should the city find itself in a beneficial position, I would think at that point, it would be best to return some of those funds to the taxpayer. But we could have that debate at that time, right? Because the taxpayer is on the hook for these funds, whether they come due now or they come due 50 years from now, we're paying it one way or another. And the whole reason for the trust is that the benefit of time and market makes a dollar today worth multiple dollars down the road. But I don't think we should handcuff ourselves to that in this amendment. I think it sort of defeats the purpose or the spirit of why we're working on this tonight. Those are just my comments there. Thank you.
All right, so Councilman Napa, you'll be next. Just one moment. All right, how about it? Sorry. Oh, okay, you bamboozled me. Councilman DeLuise?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would agree with Councilman Gephardt, but I just have a question for the mayor. Might be a little bit off topic, and I think a lot of people in the audience are concerned. With the schools, and is there a plan in place that is going to fund the fields for the schools? Is there a plan in the new budget to?
Let me answer quick before they currently the all the athletic fields are budgeted for other than the baseball fields. That's
I think we took advantage of the solicitor talking to me. I'm not sure this is on topic.
That's why I tried to answer quickly.
All right. Thank you. I apologize. We got to be fair because we pointed out for Mr. Cushman and for Councilman Ricks. So if you have an on-topic question, please have at it. But otherwise, if it's not on the agenda, so we can't deviate.
No, I understand that, but I've only used up about 30 seconds. So thank you. Thank you for the latitude.
It was a noble effort. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I mean, really, the reason that I would propose inserting that language as a motion here is because the city actuary assumes projected 6.9% compounding returns. Well, it's never going to be exactly that. And for the sake of an amendment, sake of an ordinance like this, I didn't want to overcomplicate it with, you know, greater than, less than, okay, calculate the returns that the rest of the fund had over X period of time, just becomes quite unwieldy. But beyond that, I would be highly confident that even if we included that language in the ordinance, we're still not going to actually follow it. However, if we were to include that language in the ordinance, then at least when we don't follow it, we have to have a hearing and have to explain to the public, the retirees, the employees, why we failed to follow it. So, and the reason I say that is because my timeline here might be a little bit off. I believe that the problem of underfunding benefits began in 1971. Then, in the 1990s, we had the 40-year plan. Then in 2023, we abandoned the 40-year plan to switch as pay-as-you-go. And here in 2026, we're looking at further adjustments. So as I see it, the more recently, if you kind of picture that as a spiral, the spiral is getting tighter. And so with all due respect to everyone on this city council, who I know want all of this to succeed, of course, obviously, I just have doubts about the city being able to have that level of discipline here in increasingly difficult financial times. Again, it's not a matter of anyone at fault here on this city council in particular. It's not even with the administration. It's a matter of these are problems that are compounding over time, and the further along we go, the harder it is for anyone, no matter how good their intentions, no matter how qualified, really anybody is going to have harder times digging out of a deeper hole. So really, I see that additional language in there as a matter of, okay, let's get back to where, at least set the goal of getting back to where the actuary just last month was telling us that we need to be, and we need to be disciplined. And maybe not at this last actuarial presentation, but certainly at the one before, I do recall there was a discussion about a stress test at 5.9% returns instead of 6.9% returns. So, you know, if certain periods of time we are not increasing our contributions by that recommended increasing annual contributions by the recommended 2.5%, but instead decreasing by 9%, Well, that has obviously an impact. So that's the greater logic with why that number. And sincerely, the way that things are going, I don't expect us to actually comply with that, but at least there would be some semblance of accountability when we don't. Thank you.
All right, just a brief note. According to the actuary report, the rate of return projected is 6% based on what I'm seeing. It says investment rate of return 6%. That being said, a request was made to take have a brief recess. Does anyone have any objection to that?
Nope.
All right, so we'll take a, we'll say 5-minute recess, please.